Sayonara everyone, this is Dan, and it's been a minute. It's been just over 3 years since I've uploaded an episode to the Sai Sacharitha podcast. Quite a long time. A lot has happened since November 2020. And firstly, I'd want to thank everybody that has continued to listen to the Sai Sacharitha podcast over that time. I really, really appreciate it. I was pleasantly surprised. Actually, I kind of it bypassed my attention that the Anchor platform had now moved over to podcasts at Spotify. And I have to say, I was kind of pleasantly surprised about the move that Spotify bought out Anchor, and Spotify is a huge global name, and I think that's good for everyone who was originally on the Anchor platform. Maybe not everyone agrees, but that's fine. I think it's a good thing. A little bit more exposure, perhaps. Thank you to the Spotify subscribers on this podcast. I really appreciate your subscription to the podcast, and that's a really cool thing to see. So yeah, here we are after 3 years. We're up to my thoughts and perception on chapter 13. We finished up with chapter 12 last, and here we are. Chapter 13, I think it's fitting that this chapter is a lot about Baba curing diseases in very unique ways. Just getting over the famous virus myself. So talking about chapter 13 and Baba's cure of diseases for certain devotees seems fitting at this point. The chapter starts off talking about the indescrutable power of Maya, and the power of Maya, and this elusive power of Sri Hari, Lord Vishnu, and how it fools everyone in the universe. It plays with everyone, gods, from creatures to the lowest to the gods. Maya plays with them. And so what about poor fakir like me? Baba says Maya teases me often and plays with me and troubles me. So if that's the case for Baba, then what's the hope for us? I think it's a very grounding thing. It's to keep you humble. It's to teach you lessons. It's also to have some fun with, obviously. And it's one of those things that can, in all seriousness, it can make or break a person, depending on their attachments and their attachments, expectations, and their selfishness, their ego, all these things. Maya can just double down and make things twice as hard for you if you're coming from not so great intentions, and even can make it hard for you when you're coming from great intentions. So it's something that's very hard to understand and wrap your head around, but we know it's there. Anyway, so after this we get into Baba's very, very unique ways of dealing with people's diseases, and some of the devotees outlined in this chapter. Not going to go through each case or anything, but some of the cures that Baba subscribes to some pretty serious diseases. We have tuberculosis, and there's dysentery, and there's severe stomach and earaches, and things that once required surgery and then no longer do. And some of Baba's cures are quite peculiar, but just shows that, even though Maya might have troubled him, he was playing with it just as much. And some of the cures you would never dream of, things like he was telling some devotees to eat some barfi, some sweets, you'll be okay. They'd do that and disease gone, symptoms disappear. To another devotee he said, go and feed a black dog in front of the Lakshmi temple, mix some curd and rice, feed the dog, and you'll be fine. Drink some sugared milk with pistachios and almonds, boil it all up, drink it, you'll be okay. Sometimes he'd give a stern talking to the person, but he was actually addressing the disease within the person, to leave or to abate, you know, to calm down. Even though it looked like he might have been scolding the person, but he was actually talking to the actual disease itself as a living force, which is what they are, as we know. So, very, very amazing grace and cures he gave to some of his close devotees, and even just, you know, people that came in contact with Baba. So yeah, chapter 13 is a very, very interesting chapter when it comes to having faith and devotion. Also, it mentions in this chapter too about Baba doesn't require any detailed mode of worship, eightfold, 16-fold type of worship. He's just, all he requires is full-hearted devotion, and that's it. Doesn't require a whole range of rituals and this and that. And if we think about Baba's life, he never really prescribed a lot of those things. He did prescribe, you know, certain things to certain people to do when it came to their prayers, but never anything too detailed and very, you know, a very elaborate type of style puja, more simple things, but done in the right spirit. And I think that's a very important point to make. Anyway, thank you for listening, anyone who has listened to this new upload, this new episode after 3 years. And I know I said it previously that I would try and do more things regularly, and then look where that got me. But I've made a conscious decision to expand this podcast now with a lot more interesting anecdotes and conversations with other people, which I really want to bring on board. More with Guruji Saisaleshwara that you may have heard previously, and definitely some new guests. So thanks again, and look forward to the next one a little quicker than it took for this one. Thank you. Sairam. Sairam again. I just wanted to add a little comment about one particular story at the end of chapter 13 that I didn't touch on in the previous recording for this. And that was one of the last stories about Kaka Mahajni, when he had a very bad case of diarrhea and he was trying to help out with the work of repairing the masjid and expanding the masjid. And he used to have to go out pretty regularly because he had a really bad stomach. And then all of a sudden, when Baba was there, Baba got wild and started scolding, and people started running away. And then he grabbed Kaka Mahajni while he was going wild and made him sit there. And then he had a handful of ground nuts from someone left a bag of ground nuts there in the commotion. And Baba, while he was scolding and carrying on, he cleaned the nuts and took out the skins, made Kaka Mahajni eat some. He ate, Baba also ate some, and while all this was going on, he was still like shouting and scolding. And then once this was all over and the nuts had been consumed, he then asked someone to fetch some water so him and Kaka Mahajani could drink the water. And then That's it. And after that, he said, okay, your diarrhea stopped. Continue work. So this is such a bizarre thing to think about and witness. As kind of surprising or shocking, or even it would be to witness that if you were up close there. It's actually quite hilarious. Some of the methods Bubba adopted. And this is the thing I love about Bubba's erratic personality is in every movie or TV show that's depicted, especially in modern times, I can't say I'm a fan of any of those particular serials. I'm sure that they've got some beautiful messages and they're great, and it helps people find out more about Bubba and maybe become more devoted and all that sort of thing, but I think he's too one-dimensional in all these things. And he was so dynamic and a little bit crazy, as we read in the Sahasrarita. But in a good way, obviously. But if you witnessed it, you'd think, what the hell's going on with this guy, you know? But that's the beauty. One of the reasons Bubba is so unique, and I think that's really missed in a lot of the modern day portrayals of Bubba, in especially TV serials. So yeah, that's my two cents on that one. So